Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. We're talking today about the myth of 18 summers, speaking life, talking about routine, looking inwards, not outwards, talking about comparison. And we want to have like a proper back to school episode. Now, I know this is coming out a little bit later August, and majority of you have either stepped right into school this week or just maybe last week, or are going to be stepping into school in the next few weeks. And so we thought, as family, as parents who are in this with you so often, we thought it would be great to have a conversation about what back to school routines and or ideas, things that end up helping us, things that we've done that have been really hard and not helpful, and things that we are trying to do, to be helpful. So that's where we're going today. Mm-hmm. Want to let everyone know, we so appreciate if you've rated and subscribed to the podcast. Thank you. Wherever you listen to this, Spotify, Apple, any platform that you listen to it on, would you just rate, subscribe, and even leave a comment? It's huge. It is so helpful. And then YouTube, we have a whole growing YouTube audience. You can go watch the whole episode. A lot of people actually listen to the podcast on YouTube. You can watch it, but a lot of people, if you, I guess, have an account, you can just listen to it. So you can go over there. If you're over there, would you please follow us and give us a thumbs up? That's super helpful. And thank you for everyone that's done it. It really does help get the word out. So we're going to talk to back to school. Last thing though, before we get into this, because fall is coming, couple fun things coming. So we have some things cooking, the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. It's happening October 23rd through 25th, a couple weeks later than last year. Portland, Oregon, we're going to be there. A lot of people, or a handful of people, have at least reached out and been like, I don't know, is Portland crazy? Sure. Just like lots of parts of your town are crazy. And they have, and Portland has crazy parts for sure, but we're not in any of them. We're far away from any of the craziness. And so if you're like a husband who's listening to this going, I'm not sending my wife to Portland, I understand the heart.
It's not everything the news said it was.
No, it's not everything. No. That said, yes, Portland's still very weird, but no, the parts we're going to be in are very safe. The area is beautiful and it's going to be a great time, but that's happening. We can't wait. We have some surprises for everyone. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't gotten tickets, go to intentionalparents.org, click on the Motherhood Retreat, get tickets. And that's just a reminder because things are going quick. Are you excited about that?
I'm so excited about it. I feel like it's about this time of the year that I like really start to think about it constantly. And I told you yesterday, I'm just getting so excited. Like I just can't wait to be in the room with all of those mothers and just to see again, like what the Spirit of God wants to do. And I know that like, that sounds very Christian. That sounds like a lot of people say that to try to get you to go to their event. But I mean, I couldn't mean it more. It's like,
yes,
the Spirit is like palpable in the room. Mm-hmm. I've said it before. It feels like revival, like to be in a room with moms with a shared vision, a shared mission, all in and just ready to let God speak to them is just unmatched for me. So
I
look forward to it so much, so much. And I'm working on the content for it right now and just having so much fun studying and learning myself and just can't wait.
It's going to be a great time. And truly there's a lot of ladies already coming. This is on track to be our biggest one so far. And we're really excited about that. Also just another note is if you didn't know, we launched a resource, Sowing a Hidden Seed. I wrote a prayer devotional, 31 days of prayer for your family. And essentially right now we're using that to raise awareness that Intentional is a nonprofit and we partner with folks like you to help run this ministry. Although we have the opportunity to do these podcasts and you're able to listen to them for free, we want to keep it that way. We want to keep as many resources as possible free. Mm-hmm. But as a nonprofit, we need your help. And so I was talking to someone the other day and they're like, you need to tell people that you guys actually need them to partner with you to continue the work of the ministry. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So this,
so this is us telling you that.
And if you want to know more, you can just go to our website or click the link in the show note. What we're doing right now is anyone that gives $25 a month or more gets this resource as a gift, as a thank you. And we're doing that right now to just, again, raise awareness. So if you want to give more than that or less than that, that's totally fine. But we're just trying to say, hey, we are making everyone aware that as this nonprofit continues to grow and God continues to use what we're doing, we want to let you know that we would love your help, need your help. We all have budgets and responsibilities and things we're trying to do and staff, and there's a wonderful crew of people that you never get to see that make all of this happen. And thank you, crew, for, you know who you are. Our team's amazing. We're so honored to work with the people we do. But it just takes resources. And so if you're a person that this has just been a blessing, if you would pray about that, and zero pressure, but we would love to just let you know that's a need. And we're going to continue to put out content consistently and as God's called us to. But check that out. And then for everybody asking, are we going to sell this eventually someday? Yes, we will sell this book in the next few months. There's going to be a moment where we do sell the resource. So if you're like, I really want to buy a handful of books, or I want to buy more than one, don't worry, we have that covered too. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that as an available option. But just want to make you aware, if you haven't given, it's a huge gift, a huge help to us. So the myth of 18 summers, let's start with that. This has been big on your heart lately, something that both has been big on your heart, but also agitated you a lot. Because I think there's this subtle lie going through culture right now about the myth of 18 summers. So why don't you, I think you did a great job of, you know, even articulating before we were recording. So why don't you set us up?
I think agitate is the right word, because to me, it needs a reframing, because it doesn't paint the whole picture.
I love reframing.
Anybody listening who's on social media of any kind, so maybe those who are not on social media, this is not a thing, but for anybody who is, you have more than likely seen somebody post some sort of reel or post or something that we have 18 summers with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's followed by a poetically said, basically, we have 18 summers with our kids, so let's make them count, get outside with your kids, have fun, do, you know. And I love it in sentiment. I think it is a beautiful push to
be thoughtful.
Be thoughtful and enjoy time with our kids. So in that sense, it's good. But the bone I have to pick with it is that it only gives one side of the story, I guess you could say, and unintentionally puts a lot of pressure on each and every summer, a lot of pressure on the parent to make summer be this magical thing. And in turn, that puts pressure on the kids, it puts pressure on the family.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you have a summer that wasn't everything you planned for it to be? I mean, that was us this summer. We were really healthy all winter. And I just kept saying, man, this is like our healthiest winter. We've gotten almost nothing.
You're referring to physically.
Yes. And then this summer, our girls especially have been hit with every sort of like winter virus. They got influenza B in July, totally shocked the doctors with that one.
Well, and then it shifted to pneumonia for Sweet Sloan.
Yeah.
And
Duke got mono, mono currently. It's just been this kind of, I guess you could say, disaster of a summer in some ways. It's felt more like a winter, a bad like cold and flu season winter. So I think it's also got me thinking a lot about this, because I was really looking forward to this summer and feeling a little bit of that mounting pressure. Duke turned 16. He got his license and a job. And it just feels like things are rapidly changing.
They are.
And we are experiencing firsthand, oh, everything's going to shift. Everything has already shifted, and it's really going to shift in another couple of years.
Yes.
So I think it puts a lot of pressure. But the reframing I think we need to do is that we do not just have 18 summers with our kids. We have 18 summers with it looking a certain way.
Yes.
With them in our home, with a certain level of routine, where we kind of decide what the summer is going to look like, what vacations we're going to do as a family, what activities we're going to do, what we're all going to do together. we have a certain level of control while they live in our home. But we don't just have 18. We have the rest of their lives and our lives being a family together in whatever that looks like, whether it's summer, winter, spring, or fall, it doesn't matter. It just is going to look different. And so we can't grasp so tightly to the summers we have when they're living in our home because that's all we've got. Like, that's just, it's just not true. I even think of this summer, we got together with my whole side of the family, which we try to do. We used to do it every other year. We've been trying to do it every year. We call it Camp Comer. We've never once gone camping, but we all get together. And we enjoyed time together, all 19 of us, this summer. That's a summer outside of the 18. And so I just think, like I said, I agree with it in sentiment. I just don't think it's helpful. I think it puts an undue pressure.
It really does. And I think it's a scarcity mindset, like we've talked about. It's like, oh my gosh, I only have this time with my kids. And then it almost depresses you. So it's not motivating to me. When I hear about 18 summers, I'm not motivated. I'm demotivated. Because it's like, wait,
make you feel like a failure.
Well, yeah. And so you, it changes. And I think the, I was going to say the same example, like we're still as adults. Some of us in the room are 40 at this point. Some of us are not.
It's true. And it's me. It's, they can all know it's me.
And, and I'll be 40, I'll be 40 in December. But at this point, you know, we're at that, this age and stage of life, and we're still doing summers together with family. So I think it's a really important, just for reframing, 2 Corinthians 9:8. I love this. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, that includes your summers with your kids, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The kingdom is not built on scarcity, but abundance. God isn't holding out on you. He's actually inviting you to trust that he's enough, that even if your summers change drastically with your kids, it's still going to be okay, that life will still go on. And so I agree. We have to be aware of like getting out of that mindset. I think for some goal-oriented people, this is really helpful. Maybe like, I've only got 18 summers. Great. If you're demotivated by that, then you be aware of the perspective shift. I think we have a lot. But that leads us to really what we want to talk about today and really preparing. What are some practical things? And obviously, as you guys know, if anyone's listening, we're highly practical and would love to just give like tangible ideas, things that we're doing, routines, different things that have been helpful, just really practical stuff, because there's nothing worse than people talking about the idea of parenting without getting into the weeds of it and knowing like how it actually is being at least lived out or trying to be lived out. So let's talk about these couples, these couple things. And the first one is actually, and it might surprise you, but I think is so important, is speaking life over our kids. Why don't you talk to us about that really quick, just a little bit as far as this idea. Did I miss something?
No. No, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, there's a look that you're giving me.
I don't know what this is. I'm thinking that the things that I have to say out the gate on this episode are like, what's the right word?
Ideals?
Controversial. No.
Controversial.
Not, what's,
I don't, oh, your level of controversy, of though, not, is not
controversial.
Actually, you're not very, even your.
Against the norm, whatever, like the norm, you know, talking about 18 summers, I don't agree with it. This one came out of.
This is important. So I think, talk about
this. Think it needs to be said. It's just I'm not usually the one to say stuff like this because I'm a peacekeeper, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, even your controversial comments are like, maybe don't do
that. Yes, contrarian. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm not usually a contrarian. But I feel like in the last, actually all summer long, but especially in the last month, I've had so many conversations with moms. And if you've said this to me, this is not me judging you. Please just hear me out on this. So many moms saying, I can't wait for my kids to go back to school, or just kind of making a joking comment, rolling their eyes about how hard it is to have their kids at home and just how difficult it is. And let me caveat what I'm about to say with, yes, it is. Mm. It totally is. I homeschool my kids and summers are still hard because everybody's out of routine. Everybody is home more and looking to be entertained in a different way. We're out of our rhythms. Mm-hmm. So that is true. And by the end of summer, we're tired and it's hard and we've had a great time. and we're exhausted and we would like things to go back to routine. And by the end of the school year, we will be saying we can't wait till summer. That's just the nature of it. That's true. So there's nothing wrong with feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to be aware of what our kids can internalize when they hear us in conversation with others or with our spouse, or maybe we're saying it directly to them. We need to be aware of how that makes them feel and how confusing that can be to them. Because on one hand, we're saying, I love you and I love to be with you. And also, I can't wait for you to be gone.
Like, and I think we put together a list of some of those things. I think we should remember, obviously, that words shape identity. So maybe it might be helpful to even actually go through a couple of these actual scripts of what, and again, every kid's different, but I think that we have to be aware that we unintentionally, I mean, the amount of unintentional damage we do to our own kids, you and I, Elizabeth and I mean, there's a lot of stuff. And there's moments now that our kids can articulate some of those to us that we're shocked by the things that they actually, things that we would have assumed they would have been bothered by or hurt by, like almost benign, not a big deal. And other things that have been very just like we would go, that's not a big deal, has been a big deal to them.
Yeah.
So it's hard because you never know which kid, but I think being aware of how you speak of your kids is important. So I think we should just go through, you want me to take a couple? You take a couple?
Yeah.
So I think a big one is feeling unwanted, like I'm too much.
I mean,
the truth is sometimes kids are too much, right? Like it's a lot, and it's a lot on you and it's a lot on your family, but you don't want to communicate that shame. That idea, like me being here is the problem. I'm, as a child, the problem to my parents. Yeah. I know this one well, insecure attachment. My presence is a burden. Like the fact that I'm around is hard for you. You would prefer that I'm just not around. Mm-hmm. And again, these aren't things that you're saying to your kids. You would never say this to your kids.
They're not even things you think or really believe.
No. And again, but it's just what can be communicated. And each kid could feel a version of this or one of these things, right? Or, you know, multiples. But I think the point is just to make it aware. Why don't you go with the other couple?
Yeah, I mean, they're all in the similar vein, but just even can develop like this resentment towards school or the activities that happen during the school year. Like that's the place that I'm sent away, you know, and really questioning, really wanting to like create a mistrust of like, do you really actually enjoy me? Because like on one hand, you say you do. On the other hand, I hear you say you want me to leave and really could create. And we don't want to create this fear mindset, but could create this feeling of like people don't really want me around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think we need to be aware. That's all. They're going to hear us say stuff, whether it's something about school or something else. It's going to happen. But I think just being aware of what we communicate to them when we are feeling just out of routine, feeling like we need that rhythm to come back in, I think there's different ways we can talk about it as a family of really telling our kids, man, what a fun summer we've had. I know we all thrive better in a routine. So I'm looking forward to thriving together as a family in routine again. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to miss you while you're at school, but I can't wait to see you grow this year. Mm-hmm. Or even, I mean, we have so many listeners who homeschool like we do. And even though our kids are home year round, there is a certain structure and routine that comes in with school. The last couple of years we've done a hybrid school. So 2 days a week, they are in a classroom. 3 days a week, we're at home. And even though they're still with me, I like can't wait for that grounded routine. It's a different form of time together.
We need to say, you love the transition from summer to fall. I mean, there are a few people I know that become more excited. And because you live with a lot of chronic pain, there's very few moments where we get to always see the full joy or level of joy in your situation, in your life, because there's a lot of reasons why you don't always feel joy.
Yeah.
A routine, I cannot tell you, come alive like,
especially after we've been out of routine.
Amazing. Like you are just like more work than ever. And you're just so happy because there's a routine. So, I mean, I know that's your disposition.
You were gone for a night and we always like voice memo back and forth. We call it reentry about what reentry is going to look like. kind of figuring out where each other are at, what the family needs.
Oh gosh.
What's going to, because we've had so many times of like immediate tension when one of us re-enters.
Is hard. And I travel, we travel. So
yeah. So he's gone one night and I'm just voice memoing him like, hey, I'm fully aware that I'm like really on edge and I'm irritable and I'm totally afraid it's going to cause an immediate fight between the two of us. And I think it's just that I'm like really, really, really needing a routine and we've been so out of routine.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets me like agitated. This week you're going to be gone and I have pretty much the whole week to like prep the house for the school year and for the routine. And I'm like giddy. So I can't wait.
So what I hear in my insecure attachment is you're giddy that I'm going to be gone. Got it. I'm going to write this down and I think a couple scripts, like you said, maybe just that feeling is real.
Yeah.
Yes. The routine and needing it is real, but maybe just you can say that in a different way.
Yeah.
And some of those scripts was like, hey, summer was so sweet, wasn't it? We did all of these fun things. Now you get to enjoy the rhythm of a new season and school and like, I'm excited for a new season. How about you? Are you excited? Like, that is so different than, oh my gosh, yeah, I cannot wait for the kids to get back in school. That has been so frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a whole different type of tone. So use some of these scripts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, perfect example of this. So I just went away for a few days for my 40th birthday.
It was like
not
10
afraid
days.
To say it.
It felt like 10 days.
Yeah.
It felt like
it
10
actually
days,
did feel like 10 days to me too.
Yeah.
Because I was by myself. I've never been by myself for that many days. But Sloan, our 7-year-old, asked me the day before I left because she knew that I was going. She said, why do you want to be away from us? And so if that doesn't highlight the point that we're trying to make right now, I had not said to her, I cannot wait to get a break from you guys. I had not said that once. I had just, they knew I was, that was my birthday present, was going away for a couple of days. And then one of the nights friends were coming to have a birthday celebration. And then I was just going to have a couple of days alone. I didn't say even that I was really looking forward to it. She just had the question in her mind, why does mom want to be away from us?
Well, her particular disposition would not be able to understand that anyway, just because she would love to be with people 100% of the time.
So I, in that moment, had to reassure her, it's not that I want to be away from you. So I said, I love to be with you guys. I love to be with you. It's not that I just want to get away from you. It's just that I also really enjoy being alone and having time to think and to pray and to process. I also really like that. And so sometimes I have to step away from you guys and I miss you and I love you, but because I also need that sometimes and I can't wait to be back with you on Thursday.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't highlight what we're saying, I don't know what does.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me, God says, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you. I think it's so funny because how this plays out, everyone's family is different. But for our family, we have two confirmed raging introverts and a third one on the way. And extroverts. I've grown a lot. So, you become more balanced. I also love that the person that wrote the book on introversion and extroversion actually wrote about a whole type called an ambivert, which is basically someone who is a little bit of both, which honestly, when you move to maturity, that's kind of part of it.
That's what Scarlett thinks she is, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I know that that's totally me at this stage of life, where other stages I was definitely more almost exclusively extroverted. But that said, it's so funny how this plays out because we have a budding introvert on our hands. Birdie is literally trying to wake up, like force herself to wake up at 6 o'clock, even though she's tired, just so she can wake up before Sloan, and even not always before us, but just like have time to sit out on the porch and eat breakfast and sit with the dog and like just go through it. She does not want to be bothered. This has been such a thing that even with her behavioral therapist, we sat down and we made a plan. And the plan was, in the agreement with the girls, with myself, with Sloan, with you and I, Elizabeth, was that nobody talks to her for the first 28 minutes. These were the,
she got to pick the time.
So I said, how about 30? She's like, no, 28. So for the first 28 minutes and no timer. So how do we know? Like, she doesn't like timers. So for the first 28 minutes of the day, we are not allowed to talk to her. But in many ways, we can obviously easily honor that. We're not the problem. Sloan really is.
She does not understand. The moment
she sees her sister in the morning, she's just like, and she doesn't get mad with us. But it, we, I mean, there's very little. She just needs her time, her pace. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been really interesting to watch how that's happening. But I think the point really, speak life over your kids. That's the first practical thing. And I know, again, that might seem like, I need more tangibles. I think that's a huge, huge tangible that will get a ton of your home and your heart and your disposition in order. So,
yeah, one scripture to wrap that up before we move to the next one that I think is just really good to keep in mind with this. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
Mm.
And I feel like that word reckless almost implies that it's like this intentional lack of awareness. But I think sometimes we are just not thoughtful and therefore reckless with the things we say in front of our kids. But wisdom on our tongues brings healing. Mm. And so even just being aware, like, God, would you give me wisdom with the words that are said to my children and around my children?
Mm.
And would they be words that actually bring healing? And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I've been saying those things. My kids have heard me say it. It is never too late to go back and say, hey, like, to, if they're old enough, ask them some questions. Hey, you've probably heard me say, I'm looking forward to you going back to school.
Mm.
How has that made you feel? Mm. And see what they have to say. Non-defensively, just listen to them. And they might be like, eh, I'm fine. I'm not really looking forward to it, or I'm looking forward to it. That, and great, but take that moment to reassure. I just want to make sure you know it's not because I don't want to be, that I just want to be away from you. It's just that we all thrive a little better on the routine. And if they do, if they're young enough, maybe where you know they're not going to like, they might be like, oh, whatever. Definitely go back and take that time and just say, I just want to make sure you know that I love having you around. And I shouldn't have said that in front of you, because that's not entirely true. I'm really just ready for us to be back in our, all of us in our thriving situations.
It's a good reminder.
But I think that's a beautiful opportunity for repair. And your kids will not forget that. I'll never forget, if my mom were here, she would be telling the story. She has story after story of hearing her mom talking on the phone, back when phones were connected to the wall, talking on the phone to her girlfriends, like just so vehemently saying how ready she was to have her kids out of the house. And any longtime listeners would know that my grandma was just very verbal. You knew what she thought or felt. She did not use a lot of wisdom with her words.
And they hurt.
And it cut deep for my mom. I mean, she's still, like, those memories are so vivid for her.
She still tears up.
Yes. But had her mom, and if she were sitting here, I know she would say this, had her mom gone back and apologized to her.
And repaired.
It would have been, like, healing to her bones.
Mm.
It truly would have. So
yes,
we all have the opportunity to bring that healing, whether it's we said something about back to school or we said something this morning because we were stressed and irritated. That is the wisdom that brings healing.
Mm. I love it. I love it. Love it. Let's talk about routines. Your favorite thing, routine. I mean, honestly, this forces the conversation of like routine, but what do we mean by that? There's a handful of things that have been, how do we like establish a good routine? What does a good routine look like? And then really, what are some practical things and tools that you can use to maybe just figure that out for your family? So I think it has to be said right out the gate. Everyone's different. Elizabeth literally salivates and is filled with joy over the idea of a routine.
Over planners, the amount of hours I've wasted trying to find the perfect
planner. Oh my gosh. I don't even want it. The other night, you're just in bed, doom searching. I'm going to call it doom searching the perfect planner. I was like, I don't know if it exists. At this point, you should just make one.
I think I would make a lot of money.
Have a side business and just make one and sell it.
Well, and here's my problem. I have this system that works for me that involves a notebook and a planner. And so I'm always looking for the planner notebook combo that's like the right structure of pages. Actually, so I could do it all in one book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, and it doesn't not exist.
But maybe what we could do is this. Listeners, if you know of one that exists, will you please reach out on social media or email us at hello@intentionalparents.org? Uh-huh. Or if you want Elizabeth to make her own and do a side business, will you please also give us that feedback? We'd like to know. That would be helpful. And then you can know.
Or if somebody wants to make it, I'll tell you how to structure it.
If you make it, we will support it. We will tell people about it, but up to you. So,
and also anyone that somebody sends me, I've probably already looked at, watched a YouTube video, bought and returned, wasted money on.
And if you can stump her and find one that she hasn't already purchased, then we'll let you know.
Yep.
But routine is important. Let's start with, I just love, this is one of my favorite reminders of Jesus. I think one of the things that we're all about is modeling our lives after the way of Jesus, because his way was the way of flourishing. And so just a simple verse, very simple to remember, but it says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. And that's the thought that Jesus had, obviously regular spiritual practices. And this is so important for you. As you're starting a routine, the first thing I would say is start a rhythm of some sort of spiritual practice in your day. And start it in a very simple, if it's only 5 minutes, 5 minutes is better than no minutes. If it's 10, whatever you can give, start a spiritual rhythm where you can pray, where you can have a holy rhythm to retreat if you can, find a favorite spot, wake up earlier than the kids if that's the case, or after they're in bed. And I want to just say this one note that Jesus's routine wasn't rigid, but it was rooted. And that is a really important, what's the right word? It's a very important thing to highlight. Jesus had flexibility with this.
Yeah.
And you have to as a parent. Like some mornings are just not going to be what they are, like what you would hope them to be.
Well, most of Jesus's miracles were interruptions.
Yes. But they were things he always went, like his rhythm he went back to. That's a really great point. But what I want to highlight, I mean, I just literally had this talk with our son the other day. I was like, listen, your morning routine sucks. So let's talk about having a life, like manhood 101 again. We went out to coffee and I just said, here's the things that you need to fit into your day. So even with your kids, I think you need to give this to your kids. Here's the first practical thing. Start with your kids' routine as well. Give them a little morning routine.
Yeah.
I would say give them, if that's like a prayer moment, make your bed, brush your teeth, like give them structure in the morning too. Yeah. If your mornings feel chaotic, make a little chart, sit down as a family, say, here's what we're going to do. And then try it. Each day will get easier as you reinforce it. I don't want to skip what we're going to say in a minute, but
no,
I just want to highlight, like even with Duke, we sat down again, he's 16. So he's in a new world where he has a job to balance. He has, he's driving high school, all that stuff. And so I sat down, I was like, here's the three things you have to do before you put in AirPods and start jamming out and listening to music. He loves music. It's one of the ways he processes. I love all that. That's great. I do too. But it was like three things that have to happen before you jump into your day. Every successful person has a morning routine that is of some sort, like consistent, and it's a thriving part of your life. So I told him you can, if you don't want to read the scriptures as far as a physical Bible, that's okay. You can listen to it. So you can listen to a chapter of wherever you're at, a moment of prayer and, listening to scripture. That could be 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. He has to clean his room and he has to work out. Now, he doesn't have to work out every day, but that's a huge part of his own health. And then he feels so much better when he exercises. So it's like, hey, at least 3 to 4 days a week, you're exercising. After that, you can do all the things you want. And then he's like, well, can I he drinks coffee. He's a very old soul. He's like, can I make coffee, read my Bible / listen to it and the news before? And I was like, yes, old man, you can totally do that. He just loves to know what's going on in the States. And he's like, I have this, he listens to a couple different podcasts. So I was like, sure, that's fine. So I also think he's right now, by the way, you don't know this. We have random phone searches at all times at our house, which is really fun. We'll talk about that in the technology episode soon. But I was searching his phone he knows. So I was like, I'm looking over his phone and in his note app, he had written up a review for our podcast, which I think he was, do you know this?
No.
And it is so funny. It makes no sense. And it is like, so funny. So I was like, now that he has access, because he recently got an iPhone, which we've locked down, we'll give you all sorts of stuff on that later, but he can listen to podcasts and he can listen to our podcast. Not that we would ever ask him to or hope him to, But I think he's trying. So we'll just, I'll let you know. I'm just saying this out loud right now.
To submit some funny review.
I think he's going to submit it.
That
yeah.
is funny.
And I think it was, what was Ironbeard 1000 was his, was the name. So I'm just like, I'm just looking for Ironbeard 1000. So I can't wait.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, this is not a good idea for anyone that's listening to do this, but he's our son. So this happens. Anyway, I think a routine is so important. Elizabeth, you as a routine master, as I kind of just set up, you know, maybe some of the broad strokes, what are some of the practical things that families can do as they get back to school, as they get back into that routine that would be helpful for them?
Yeah.
Or at least it's been helpful for us that might be helpful for them.
Yeah. Well, let me just highlight that I do love routine. I am a very routined person. I would not say that I have always done a great job in managing the routines of my kids because I grow weary of the pushback sometimes. And so I would say I am not as consistent as I would maybe like to be of always having that routine trickle down to everybody else in the family. So I just think it's important to just be honest about that of like, this is not me speaking from a place of like, I've got routine dialed with my kids and here's what you should emulate.
Yeah. That's good.
But I like that you said that Jesus was rooted, not rigid. And I think that I've been learning to embrace that over the years and over the last now 7 years of homeschooling, which I said I would never do.
That's a long time.
I still don't think I want to. but I do feel like a lot of routine rhythms, I guess, have formed out of that. And so one, and I wish we'd recorded this a little earlier in the month because I know many people have started already. But if you haven't started school already, something that we've been doing for a long while now is like the pre-routine to the routine. So starting in about August, and usually it comes out of me just feeling desperate for like, oh my gosh, I've not made you guys do your chores. I've not like, you're in your pajamas till 1 o'clock every day. Like, we're about to start school and we got to like start to turn this ship, but not too abruptly. And so if you can, if you haven't started yet, we kind of start to ease back into routine. So like maybe 2 weeks ago, I redid the kids' chore charts. And what has kind of worked for us is like they have a list of just very basic things that they are required to do every morning. And we write them down because kids like to check things off list. They like to see it. And it's things like brush your teeth, make your bed, get dressed for the day. Like they're not, I wouldn't consider those chores. Those are just like, take care of yourself. And some of the, there's a lot of daily stuff on there, like help empty the dishwasher if it needs to be emptied, things like that. And then each kid every day of the week, except for Saturday, which is our Sabbath, they have a chore that's assigned to them that is their kind of cleaning thing for the day. And this is entirely based off of what is helpful to me. Like what is helpful in running the house and in cleaning the house, like what chores are truly helpful that they could be doing. And so to get real practical for the big kids, it's things like cleaning bathrooms. Like they might clean the kids' bathroom one day or the downstairs bathroom one day. Duke mops the floor on Fridays before our Sabbath. So they have more of a like a significant, really helpful chore. And then the younger two, it's things like cleaning up the dog messes, weeding the yard, dusting the baseboards, like things that they're very capable of doing. So it's one per day. So if you get behind, they can catch up and do two in a day. And so a couple weeks ago, redid their chore charts and kind of their like, this is what's expected of you in the morning. Talk to you about it. That's really important. If you can both work together as a team of like, hey, we're going to reinforce this. And then just started talking to the kids about it. Hey, starting on Monday, we're going to get back to our kind of always routine. It's here. Here's yours. I gave everybody a copy, put one up in the kitchen. And then you've done a great job actually of helping me actually enforce it and require that they do it.
I didn't do much though, because all that happened is you put them out right before you left on your trip for your birthday. And they just liked looking at it. And I think they liked the structure. They really did. Like, I think they looked at it. One morning, I woke up and Birdie was already awake for her, you know, introversion time. And she said, Dad, what are baseboards? And I was like, they're right down there.
Yeah, she's
like,
a new one.
No, and she said, good. I just dusted all of them. And I was like, she's like, that's what I figured. I was like, who are you? I didn't even ask you to do that. Now, I know, like, trust me, our kids are just like your kids, where they will revolt against any sort of chore when they're not in the space to do it. But I do think what you're highlighting, even our kids are like your kids, where, yes, they don't always love to work. But I think once you start the process of a routine and what's expected, routine's safe for kids.
Yeah.
They feel safe in routine. Really safe. I think a lot of people do. And I think there's that idea that it helps you feel comfortable. It's what's predictable, especially in kids' world. They like things that they can expect and control to an extent, right? So I think that actually reinforces that.
And they feel like
they're
contributing. Like, even if they can't articulate that, they feel like they're contributing. And for us, because I know this is people's question a lot of times, and this is just us. This is not, you can do it totally differently. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do this. For us, our kids' chores are not connected to their allowance, because we don't want them to think that you get paid to do stuff around the house. Instead, we want them to think, we all take care of this house together. God's given us this house to live in as a family. And it's not just mom's job. It's not just dad's job. You're not doing me a favor by doing a chore. We are working together to take care of the space that God's given us that we call home.
That's good.
And so allowance is to learn how to manage money. It's to have some spending money. It's to learn to tithe and to save. And it's for a different purpose. But you're not paid because you do chores. Now, if there are extra chores, if the kids are wanting to earn money and there's extra like projects that would be helpful, we will pay them for that type of thing. That's just kind of how we've structured it. Again, there's not a right or wrong. I know lots of families have really creative ways of connecting money to work around the house. And I think that's great. Try it. Figure out what works.
We're also going to have an episode on money soon, just so you guys know. Budgeting, the importance of it, all, you know, in a family context with your kids. That's something that it comes up in our world all the time.
Yeah.
So just as an FYI.
But the idea of, rather than hitting them with a routine the first week that school starts, we're easing them back into it. We're titrating it in so that it's not so assaulting for any of us. Mm-hmm. Like that, because that's hard on the parents too, where you're like, all of a sudden you're supposed to be hyper responsible in the morning because you have school to go to, or school to start if you're homeschooled. And so just starting it before it happens.
So ease in bedtime, wake up rhythms, have patience after you start that. You know, kids are adjusting emotionally. Mm-hmm. Physically, so obviously extend grace, but then
and patience once school starts, so much patience. You've just spent 3 months doing it completely differently. And there's going to be lots of feelings and things happening with school starting. Kids who struggle with anxiety, it's probably going to be at an all-time high. There's stress all the way around. It's an adjustment period every single time. And so we need to just know that for our kids and for us, to just have so much grace and patience, to be willing to throw the routine completely out. I think for anybody who's homeschooling, this is something that took me years to let it really sink in. But if you are homeschooling, you need to get really, really good at pivoting. And I get tired out by pivoting. I can do like one really big pivot, and then if I have to do it over and over again, it can wear me out. But homeschool is not like regular school. It has to fit in your life. And so if something is not working and you've tried it for a long enough period of time to see that it's not working, you have to be willing to try something different. And so you have to be willing to throw the whole routine out the window and try a completely different one. And so I think so much patience and so much grace.
I think lastly, before we move on, the other one is expectations.
Yeah.
So I think obviously ease in, be patient in the process, but then create clear expectations. And expectations need to be clear, spoken out loud, and agreed upon as a family, which means that you have to sit down and you have to talk about it. And then lastly is repeat often. Kids need reminders, not lectures. We know this. Unfortunately, we all know this. So it's you sitting down as a family, hey, this is what we're going to do. And then probably that night reminding them again before bed. In the morning, hey, remember, this is what we're doing. 2 days go by. Hey, guys, remember, this is what we're doing. This is the expectation. This is what we agreed upon. And I think that is how you establish these new routines in a family, especially as, you know, rhythms happen. Some of the things just get figured for themselves. Some sports schedules, school schedules. Like, there's certain things that will naturally kind of force you to be like, okay, we're locked into this. But I think outside of that, you can be really clear, speak out your expectations of what you expect of your kids. And then they need to be agreed upon. So, and that doesn't mean your kids have to feel excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, our kids do not usually feel excited about, hey, no, we're going to step into this rhythm and you're going to have chores. They'll be like, ugh.
Well, and oftentimes like, they're reminders, even if they've been doing it for months, you remind them, go do your morning routine. Oh, I don't want to do my morning routine. Yeah. Like, that's just normal.
Yeah.
It's normal. If your kid is doing that, you're normal.
We're normal. So routine, start it, establish it, make it happen. And then lastly, and briefly, but also just, it has to be said because of the culture we live in, is we have to look in, not out. We have to guard against comparison of our kids, of our situation, of our school routine, of our rhythms. The older I get, which is not as old as you yet, sweetheart. I'm getting close.
You young fella.
it's so comical because you're only 4 months older, but it just feels like this year especially. It's just, you're in a whole new decade. And you're far better looking so than me in general, but also just in general. But I think it's really interesting how over time you realize that you know, we know, Elizabeth and I, you know, that our kids each are unique and different. And we know our family's different. I always am, well, I'm pretty consistently surprised when I have friends or come across other families and their situation is just objectively a lot easier. Like, I'll look at it and like the way that their kids move through the world, what they need, how their family works, it just works really good. And it's pretty smooth and the tension is pretty low and they've figured out a lot for themselves. And whether that's just
seemingly,
well, some of the dispositions are, some of it's their own disposition.
Yeah.
Some of it's their own personalities. Maybe they just don't have some of those extreme personalities. All I'm saying is that it is never helpful to compare because you and your own family have your own set of unique dynamics, rules, personality sets, dysfunction and functions, which are both beautiful and hard. And there is nothing that will derail your joy quicker, confuse you, irritate you, distract you, pull you out of your own family than comparing yourself to another. So if you see a family that's doing a bunch and their kids are succeeding and they have all this space and seeming energy to do every sport that ever existed.
And the
capacity and they have, and it works. And every time you see them, they're like happy and healthy and joyful and they're busy as all get out. And you're like, I can't even make it through bedtime. That's a very real feeling. And that's your stage and that's your life. And there's nothing wrong with the people that are thriving and there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just something we can talk a little more about it, but I think Galatians 6:4, I just wanted to share this verse because I think in the arena of comparison, Jesus, the scripture speaks so much to this idea. Like it, the cultural thing we feel all the time is actually been spoken about for millennia. But let each one test his or her own work. And then his or her reason to boast will not be in yourself alone and not your neighbor as well. And so this idea, like you have to test your own work, your own family, your own situation, your own disposition, your own kids' needs. Yeah. And if you get outside of that, it's really clear it's going to get messy very quickly. And most of us live in a constant state of even unaware comparison. Yeah. We're almost doing it like without even thinking or being conscious of it. It's unconscious comparison. So what are your thoughts on that, honey? I just know that it's so important for families not to live in that as they start this school year.
Well, I think comparison, we've all heard it said, comparison is the thief of joy, and that's true. But comparison is also the thief of presence. It completely snaps us out of being present to the needs of the actual people in our house, or being present to our own wiring and ability and gifting and calling, like what God is asking you to do. And I don't just mean like calling on like a grand scale, these big things we're supposed to do for God. I mean the day-to-day life he's called you to. And so if we are, and we will be looking to outside sources, we're human. We live in a world that is what we see all the time. We can see everybody and compare ourselves to everybody all day long, not just when we're with people. But when we do that, we are completely snapped out of presence with God and presence with the people that he's put in our home. And so I think it has to become this like discipline in our lives to recognize when our minds are shifting there and ask God to help us come back to what are you asking me to do today, right now? with my family. And for some of you, that will be your kids in public school and you're in that rhythm. For some of you, it will be private school. For some of you, it might be homeschool and it might surprise you. That's our story. I hate it when people say to me, like, you're super mom. I don't know how you homeschool and do all those things because I feel like I'm doing it because this is what is needed for my family in this season. That's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because I'm have some greater capacity than others or I'm not doing it in some idealistic way that looks beautiful and amazing. I am just trying to do just enough so that everybody can make it in the world. Like mm-hmm. that's literally my goal of like to do a, just a good enough job that everybody's okay out in the world someday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's what I know God's called me to do for right now. And I have to reevaluate it over and over and over again. And I think we all need to be doing that with our families and just learning to catch ourselves when we compare, because we will. We'll compare to how somebody else started school, what somebody else's school routine was, what some all the sports somebody else is able to manage. And we feel like we can hardly handle one.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's a very normal thing. And I love that comparison is the thief of presence. And that could not be more true. It just takes you out of your own life and frustrates you. And it's an opportunity for the enemy to come in and to completely destroy, overwhelm, defeat, depress you. And so as you're jumping back into school, I know that this is a lot. There's a lot of details that to think through in your own life. And hopefully you can take some of these things, but have hope. You don't need to be scared of the myth of 18 summers. You got more than that. Speak life, build in a beautiful routine, just like Jesus did. It wasn't rigid, but it was rooted. Be specific about that. And remember that comparison is the thief of presence. And as we step into this with the Spirit's power, the school year is not going to be perfect, but I think that it will be far more equipped by the power of the Spirit in us to experience some joy and some help for our kids. So listen to it, write stuff down if it's helpful. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.